will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
Democrats are now calling for an investigation into the pipeline accident in Alabama. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
This was a tragic accident.
That's a Colonial Pipeline Company spokesman on Monday's blast, which happened as a crew was making repairs to the line in Alabama. One of the workers killed when the equipment ruptured the line. Now five House Democrats who are ranking members on committees that deal with energy and pipelines want the Transportation Secretary to conduct a full-blown review of the Georgia-based operator. Colonial's Bill Barry saying it's unclear how the Monday blast could have happened.
We had a contractor out there that we've used for many years.
The company hopes to repair and reopen the pipeline this week, and for now, fuel's in short supply and more expensive in several southern states. I'm Chris Barnes.
Cub players back in Chicago after winning the World Series in Cleveland. A crowd of people welcomed the team as they arrived at Wrigley Field this morning. First baseman Anthony Rizzo was seen holding the Commissioner's Trophy. The Cubs beat the Indians last night 8-7 in 10 innings to win their first championship since 1908. USA Radio News.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Multiple legal challenges now being filed against laws that prohibit people from taking ballot selfies. Here's Chris Barnes.
Let me take a selfie.
Laws concerning ballot selfies on the books in 18 states, and with just days till Election Day, there are legal challenges to them in at least four states, California, Michigan, New York, and Colorado. Though in Colorado, the state's Libertarian Party is challenging that law because spokeswoman Karen Harlow says it goes way beyond just taking ballot selfies.
The Colorado law further forbids people from talking about who they voted for.
Legal experts say while some courts may hand down rulings before Tuesday's balloting, it's unlikely the ballot selfie issue will be settled anytime soon. I'm Chris Barnes.
Now that the Chicago Cubs have won the World Series, who has the longest drought in professional sports? Well, it's the Arizona Cardinals. Here's Jason Campidonia.
According to the record books, the Cardinals have never won a Super Bowl, but did win a couple of world championships back in 1925 and 1947, when they were known around the league as the Chicago Cardinals. The Cards' 69-year championship drought is 1 year longer than the Cleveland Indians' drought, who lost the World Series to the Chicago Cubs Wednesday night in extra innings. The Cardinals eventually moved to St. Louis back in 1960 before relocating to Phoenix in 88. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
For more news and in-depth analysis of today's headlines, visit westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome to the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio Station.
located here in Flemington, New Jersey. It's great to have you joining us today, and again, you're going to hear a wonderful program that you won't hear anyplace else. This is Teachable Moments in Business. So where do business people get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? Where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you just don't find anywhere else? Well, it's right here at Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host here on the 100 and Chamber Internet Radio. Today, we have a wonderful...
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and 100 In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and 100 In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I thought we would be live on Facebook today, but I had trouble clicking all the buttons, so you're not going to see me speaking. However, you will hear about our program. We're going to be talking about trade show and expo marketing today, and I hope that you enjoy this program. We're going to cover what you do before, during, and after an expo. There are so many steps that you need to engage in order to be successful to achieve your ROI when you're doing an event like this. And, people, keep in mind, people buy what you do. And the reason I do this, the reason why I teach classes on trade show and expo marketing is because after being involved at many, many events over about a 35 to 40-year period, I became pretty upset with the way some companies were handling their work at the trade shows and the preparation as well. So for that reason, I started teaching classes on this particular topic. And in fact, I teach a three-hour program on a lot of this and more material at Raritan Valley Community College on behalf of the New Jersey Small Business Development Center. If you're not familiar with the SBDC, it's something you need to look into. The SBDC is located in every state, actually, and it's funded by the Small Business Administration as well as the individual states. So New Jersey puts money into this program statewide, and then the host institutions that sponsor the programs also help to support it. So I teach classes on trade show and expo marketing at Raritan Valley Community College. And, in fact, in the fall, we're going to be going live with a webinar supported program so that if students want to come to the program in person to be in the classroom, they can do that, or they can attend online through a webinar program. So if you'd like to have more information about how to learn more about trade show and event marketing, you can certainly contact me. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. The name of my business is Rushmore Mentoring Group, and I'll give you a phone number now, and I'll try to do one at the end of this program. But the phone number that you can find out, where you can find out more about these programs, is 908-832-9544. You can also look at information about these programs on Teachable Moments in Business at on Facebook. And unfortunately, I'm not live. I'm a little disappointed at just my instructor's not here, and I didn't push the right buttons in order for you to see me live. But that's okay. We're going to talk about what you do before and during, what you do before, during, and after an event, and I'm going to give you some statistics and some tips on setting up a booth, how to talk to people when they come in, and we'll go as far as we can in the hours time that we have. This program goes from 3 to 4 o'clock every Tuesday afternoon, and in the event that I don't finish, I'll come back at another time to complete the discussion on this program. So first a word from one of our sponsors, and then we'll take a look at the weather, and then we'll continue on.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. Right now it's about 40 degrees outside, and we're looking at some rain and precipitation, probably about 88% today. And that's going to, I guess, be off and on for the rest of the day. And then, so a summary for our weather is that we're looking at a low of in the 40-degree range overnight, and there will be rain total today, about 80%. And then tomorrow on Wednesday, it'll be cloudy and it will be a little more windy. The chance of rain will be at 90%. So Wednesday will be wet here in Flemington and Hunterdon County. And in the evening, it'll be mostly clear with a low of about 29 degrees. So when I come back for some more weather, we'll take a look at the extended forecast. So as I said, we're talking about trade show and event marketing. And trade shows and event marketing is so important. It's a great complement to any other marketing that you might be doing. I don't believe that as a standalone it's adequate. You need to combine trade show and event marketing with other activities that you're engaged in. But it certainly is. These are certainly vital to the integrated marketing mix that you may be having, because there are so many powerful opportunities when you're at a show. You get to find out what's going on in industry. You see your competitors. You meet people that you would never meet otherwise. You can assess the competition. Quite often at events, you'll have opportunities to attend classes and seminars on different topics that would be of interest to you and your business and your colleagues. So I really encourage you to take advantage of these programs. Now, here in the fall, in November, this Chamber of Commerce, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, will be announcing their Business Expo. And I'll tell you, it is a great event to attend. You don't have to have a booth there. If you care not to have a display, that's okay. You go to it. The place is mobbed. They bring in businesses from all over the area. You get to meet people and to rub elbows with them, to exchange ideas and information. And I really think it's a valuable opportunity for you to take advantage of. Now, in order to be successful in your online, marketing in trade shows and events, you have to know there's five steps. I call it, you got to know the territory. You have to know your industry inside and out. You have to know who your competition is. Know especially what they don't do well, what are their weaknesses, because you have to be able to excel in those areas. Know the target audience. Know exactly who you want to reach out to. Know your own capabilities and know how to reach the market in a meaningful way with messages and calls to action that will get you to where you want your business to be. You can consider a show to be an investment in your business, and don't think of it as an expense. But however, if you do a show, you really need to go back multiple times. You could perhaps consider it to be an expense if it's a trial to see if it's going to work for you. But keep in mind that if you're going to choose an event to attend as an exhibitor, you need to know more about the organization who's sponsoring the event, and you need to ask them who exactly will be attending the program. And so if you find that people that who will be walking the show floor are not in your target audience, you may want to think twice about actually attending the event. But again, there are powerful opportunities when you attend an event. You create brand awareness. You solidify relationships. You can expand your market. There may be new opportunities that you never even considered. And certainly there's education opportunities and networking. When you're at a show, you have a chance to test the marketplace. You might want to introduce new products that you never thought about introducing previously. And it's a way to survey the market, to find out what's going on. You really keep your ear to the ground when you go to an event like that. So the bottom line, consider that a trade event is an investment, but not necessarily an expense. So always have goals. Whatever you do, whether it's in marketing or selling or customer relationship management, there always have to be goals. Because if you don't have a goal, what is there to measure? So what are your goals for attending that event? Who's the target audience? Are you planning to design a booth that will attract the audience that you're best suited to serve? What are the messages that you're going to use both in your out marketing outreach as well as in the display itself? So really plan ahead, have those goals, and really have a plan, have a game plan. But shows are considered to be one of the number one marketing tools for supporting your sales team, your sales endeavor, and business can be attributed to the success of a booth. You can increase your brand recognition, your brand identity, and certainly increase market share. And statistically, companies find that they have to do fewer sales calls, and the leads that they get from a show really help them to focus right away on reaching out to the customers that they're best suited to serve. The cost of a face-to-face sales call is considerably higher than the cost of a face-to-face experience with somebody on the show floor. So leads that you get through an exhibition or an expo would be less costly. And there are formulas for helping you determine exactly what those costs might be. In fact, I have a toolkit that's available to my listeners, and for a nominal fee of $15. But in there is are several different formulas that you can use to determine your cost per acquisition. And so this is something that you might want to consider doing. One of the things that another statistic that I've learned is that the success of a show is based on the staff performance. So what we're saying here is that you want to make sure that anybody who's working in the booth is fully trained. So this is one of the things you do before you go to an event. Train whomever will be working in the booth so they know what to say to people, how to say it, and that they have the tools that they need to chat with the folks who might be coming into the booth. A really good booth visitor, you know, one who walks away who's satisfied with the encounter, will most likely tell about six other people. So that's all positive word of mouth. And that's what business is all about today. So as you start thinking about how you're going to start this endeavor, you have to think about who the target audience is to design a booth. And I believe that it takes anywhere from 3, 6 to 9 months, whatever it may, that's going to vary, obviously, but it'll take that long to get ready for a booth. And there are a lot of companies that show up that buy a booth space at the last minute. They have given no thought to the display. They haven't really thought about how to attract the people that they're best suited to serve, and it can be a very costly mistake to do that. So there has to be a schedule. And in my toolkit, I actually have not only a timeline for getting ready for the booth, but also some budgets, budget forms that you will fill out, which help you to determine what your cost is going to be for the booth. If you're going to an expo, it doesn't cost a lot. When you're going to a trade show in Chicago or Orlando, where I just came back from one in Orlando, now you're talking the big bucks. So having budgets and having documentation to keep track of that kind of information is quite helpful. Now, before I continue, I'm going to go on to a couple of our sponsors, and I will be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. So we're talking about trade show and expo marketing, and this is a very important way to support any other marketing endeavors that you may be engaged in. So for when it comes to booth design, you want to design it for the target audience. There must be a theme and a message that's there. How you position your tables and your displays is very important, where you put your literature. So a couple of points on this. You should not close off any more than about 30% of your linear feet or footage in the trade show booth, because you want people to come into the booth. So no more than 30%. It's a good idea to have tall chairs or benches or high stools that people can sit on rather than low chairs, because I do believe that some people, if you invite them to sit down and with you, may feel stuck if they can't get out of the chairs fast enough. So you might want to have a bar height table with some stools around it. That's a suggestion. Also, you want to schedule clients' appointments for people to come in to see you, possibly before the show, invite them. In fact, one thing that I've had many of my clients tell me that works for them is that they invite their audience three times. So you invite people 8 weeks, 4 weeks, and 1 to 2 weeks before the event. And if you can invite them before the show to come to a meeting with you and to schedule them, this really helps to get people in the booth. And these are the people that you truly want to come into the booth. Before the show, you want to also put together a toolbox of all of the devices, scissors, tape, glue, literature, business cards. There's a whole host of things that you would put into that toolbox, as I call it. And in my toolkit that I make available to people, I have a list. And, oh, gosh, there's probably 100 different things that you want to take with you to be prepared. There's nothing worse than getting to a show and discovering that you have forgotten to bring material that you should be having with you. When it comes to attraction, you want to always do some marketing promotions. So inviting people to your booth, getting press releases in the media, using Facebook, LinkedIn, any other social media and resources to let people know that you're going to be at the booth. You know, I talked to people who had been at shows for years, and I happened to run into them in an aisle, and I said, how's the show going for you? And they said, well, it's okay. And I said, well, what do you mean by okay? And they said, well, our customers are not coming by. And I said, really? And they said, well, they knew we would be here. And I said to them, well, did you invite them to your booth? And they kind of looked at me cross-eyed. The answer is no, they didn't invite them. You have to invite people to your booth. Know who's coming to the show, reach out to them, and invite them to the booth. Don't assume, especially if it's a large show, like I went to in Orlando at the convention center 2 weeks ago, show is huge. It, I mean, if you walk end to end, you're talking about maybe walking as much as a mile. You can't assume people are going to find you. You have to invite them to your booth. So do as much pre-show marketing as possible. So some of the some interesting statistics on trade shows is that in some surveys, 50% of attendees will only visit one show a year. There you go. They're all usually looking for new products and services, and quite a few decision makers and influencers will be at a show. So even if you're not talking to the person who's going to actually make the purchase, chances are you're speaking to someone who will influence that purchase decision. And people do rely on shows to make decisions. And if it's important to your industry, if your category is important to the industry, you need to be there. Or if you feel that you have opportunities to introduce your products and services to an audience that has never seen you before, you know, try it. Go to that show and try it out. But also do your pre-show marketing, because just to show up is just not enough. It's the people that just show up without any pre-show marketing, without those who don't know who their target audience is, they have not taken the right literature with them and so forth, they're the ones that will fail and tell you that the show wasn't any good. And in fact, in some industries, there is as much as a 70% turnover of new exhibitors in a year's time, which is huge. So most industries may not be that great a number, but the truth is there are people that go to a show on a whim and they don't go back because they were not prepared. Keep in mind that it could be that maybe only about 16% of the attendees on the show floor would be prospects for your business. So for that reason, you need to let people know that you're going to be there and invite the people that you want to see. Now, those people that you invite might be current customers. They may be prospects. They may be involved in some industries where you've never been engaged, but you make it interesting for them. But give them a reason to want to come to your booth, which is called a call to action, a CTA. Give people reasons to come there. Otherwise, they're not going to. Now, during the show, when people are walking by, they walk by very quickly. And you have to have a booth that's attractive, but you also can't be shy. You have to step out and introduce yourself, get people to come into your booth, because quite often people will just walk by and not stop unless you give them a reason to do that. I personally have made sales to people who had no intention of even going to a booth. So if you can get them to come in and talk to them, but you have to know what to say. You need to explore with them very quickly what do they do, what their interests are, and you have to be able to say something that really resonates with them. So these are little tips that you have to prepare. And if you have people working with you in the booth, you got to teach them what to say. And you can't sound like a broken record. You have to be able to relate to those people by saying, having worked with companies such as yours or people such as you, we understand that these are some of the things that they might be interested in. So show them. By the way, having a hands-on experience is really important. So if you sell products that are tangible, or if you can show pictures of what you do, that would be very, very helpful. Now, it's not to say that someone who has perhaps a CPA firm on their insurance company can't be successful. One time I used to show a video of a CPA firm that had a display of those red wagons, the Red Flyer wagons. They filled it with jelly beans, and they had a sign up above the jelly beans that said, "Beat the bean counters." And so people came to the booth. They tried to guess how many jelly beans were in their little red wagon. And the prize, of course, was the wagon filled with jelly beans. But that was a way to get people interested and engaged in that booth. So just because you have a service business doesn't mean that you can't use techniques for getting people to come in to your booth. Some people use like a treasure hunt. They might send out keys. And you ask people to come to the booth to open up a treasure chest. And with that key, and inside there may be some gifts. So it's there are a lot of different techniques that you can use, but you have to be creative in running shows today, because there's a lot of competition out there, and it's got to be interesting and clever. The signage has to be also designed in a way that it features the benefits. Keep in mind, people don't buy features of what your product or service does. They buy the benefits that they gain from doing business with you. And so many of the booths that I've seen over the years are have like display walls, and they go into all the features. The product does this, that, and the other thing, but it doesn't tell you what the value of those steps, of those things might be. People don't buy what you do. They buy what they get. Keep that in mind. Now, when it comes to working in the booth, there's a bunch of do's and don'ts that you need to be aware of. First of all, I don't believe in sitting in a booth, and that's easily said, because if you've worked shows as many years as I have, it sometimes you just need to sit down. But if you're sitting on a high stool, you can at least jump to your feet when somebody comes by. But if you're sitting in a low chair, that makes it much more difficult. Another thing is, don't eat in the booth. In fact, one time I was at a trade show, and where I walked by a booth that had some folks that I knew, and they knew that I teach these programs. And they were sitting in a round table, a low round table, and they had a pizza in the middle of the booth. And they saw me walking down the aisle, and they said, "Quick, hide the pizza. Vicky's coming." They didn't want me to see them, that they were eating. But if you're eating in a booth, people will say, "Oh, I don't want to interrupt your lunch, your dinner. I'll come back." Chances are they will not come back. So leave the, you know, if you have to eat, have somebody stay in the booth to look after it while you're out eating. Because you don't really want to leave a booth unattended either. Now, if you're working a booth alone, you just have to step out if you have to use the restroom or get a soda or coffee, but come back. Another thing that I don't like to see are low, wide tables in a show. It's important that you have tables that are elevated, because if you're going to have literature on them or perhaps a writing surface, having a low table is very uncomfortable, and it's hard to work with it. And do not stand behind, don't sit or stand behind a low, wide table. What happens often, and I see this all the time at shows, people have a tendency to get out their mobile devices and start checking cell phones and messages or playing games instead of paying attention to who's walking past the booth. So this you have to be very, you know, concerned about as well. So have if you're going to have tables, they should be narrow and taller. Also, no clustering in the booth. When I come back after our messages from some of our sponsors, I'm going to tell you a story about clustering in a booth.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, President Donald Trump held a press conference with the leaders of the Baltic states. Among the topics discussed was bringing our troops home from Syria. Take a listen to the president's response when asked if troops should be coming home soon.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing out of it. Nothing.
And before that press conference, President Donald Trump also spoke about a military presence on our U.S.-Mexico border.
We are going to be doing some things. I've been speaking with General Mattis. We're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step. We really haven't done that before, or certainly not very much before.
This is USA Radio News.
We're joined by Maria Menounos. What is the Every Dog is a Star program? Can you tell us about your own dogs and why they are the true stars of your family?
So the Every Dog is a Star program. We want to know why your dog is a star. So we're encouraging people to post a photo or a video of your dog on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and hashtag BH Dog Show. You get a tag at Purina, and then Purina will find it, and they will donate $5 per post to the Mudd-Agrees program. And Mudd-Agrees is an incredible program I got to witness firsthand in the classroom here in California, where the dogs go into the classroom and really help these students and these young children in a lot of ways, and they really impact their lives in a positive way. So $5 per post will go to this program. And if you want more info, you can go to Purina.com.
Thanks, Maria. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Here's You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And we just heard a news break. And as far as the weather's concerned, I have a note here that said the rain's going to start at 4:30 this afternoon, and tomorrow's going to be raining as well. So that's not going to be the 2 days are not going to be that great. Tomorrow we're looking at the winds being 25 to 30 miles per hour, but a 90% chance of rain. But then in the evening, it should clear up. The weather should clear up with a low of 29 degrees. Now, on Thursday, that's going to be the nicest day of the week, so I understand. And except for a few afternoon clouds, it'll be mainly sunny with a high of about 46 degrees. And then at Thursday night, it would be clear during the evening, followed by cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers again. And then Friday, we're looking at steady rain once again with a 60% chance of rain. So Thursday, if you have a chance to get out on Thursday, at least in the central New Jersey area, it might be a good idea. So here we are. We're talking about clustering in a trade show booth, and this is the story that I have to share with you. Years ago, I was privy to a circumstance where a buyer went into a booth to talk to a manufacturer and wanted to do business with that manufacturer, but the manufacturer kind of was dragged his heels, wasn't sure he wanted to do business with this person. So the buyer went to the next company, and they were clustering in the booth, and they didn't notice that she came walking in. Now, this person was sort of an ordinary-looking buyer, and who would have guessed where she might have worked because they didn't bother to ask. So the buyer went into the third company. They ignored the buyer there. The fourth company, the buyer went in. They spoke to her. Later that day, I heard it stated that the fourth company said that they had the biggest order that they'd ever had in their history. This buyer placed a multi-million-dollar order. Now, the three companies that ignored the buyer tried to scramble and try to get their foot in the door at that prospect's door, so to speak. And, of course, they were turned away. So please don't ignore people that come in the booth. And no clustering, nobody talking. In fact, one of the rules of thumb is that you should have no more than one person per 50 square feet in a booth. So if you have a 10 by 10 display, which is normal, it could be 8 by 10 or 10 by 10, you don't want any more than two company people in that booth, because otherwise, if you have more, they're taking up too much space. You want the booth visitors, to come in and walk into the booth and to engage in conversation with you. Now, if you're working in a booth, as I said, no texting, no cell phones, you can't be shy. So you have to be bold and be conversant and offer to introduce yourself. And usually when you do that, the other person will tell you who they are. Now, some people have what I call the fishbowl in a booth, where they like to collect business cards. In my opinion, you need to collect cards of people who have been already qualified. So rather than having people randomly drop their business cards in a booth in the bowl in your booth, you might want to suggest to someone who has engaged with you that they might like to enter a contest, and then they would put their business card into that fishbowl. Otherwise, what do you do with all the cards when you go home? Unless you have a scanner and you have a database, a CRM system where you can put all those names into a system, and then you have the ability to communicate with those people. But in some events, you're meeting people that will never be qualified to do business with you. They just do not meet your criteria. Another problem that I see is that people forget to take business cards to shows, especially the booth visitors. But make sure as an exhibitor you have business cards. And a good idea is to print on the back of your business card an appointment card, something like you would see in a doctor's office, so that if you're speaking to somebody, you can say to them, well, let's get together, let's talk again on the telephone, and then propose a time that you would do that, and then write it on the card and hand your business card to that prospect so that they leave with something. Now, they can also leave with literature. And it is said that 64% of literature actually gets thrown away after a show. So it's a good idea to take two different types of handouts. One that's relatively inexpensive. It might be what's called a rack card, which is one size of a trifold panel. and that might be quite adequate. If you're talking to someone who is serious and you truly want to do business with them, perhaps you would give them a more expensive handout. It could be a portfolio or a glossy flyer, whatever it might be, would be more expensive. But to hand out at random expensive flyers probably would be a waste. So prepare what you're going to say to somebody when they walk in the booth. Have an opener that's going to engage them. Also, eye contact, shaking hands, asking open-ended questions. Some people ask just the darndest questions. They'll ask closed-ended questions, which don't tell you anything about what you need to know. So have a list of questions, especially if you have people working in the booth, train them to know what to say. Also, there's a listening rule for salespeople. You're familiar with the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle. You want to listen 80% and talk 20% of the time. If you do all the talking, you're not going to learn what you need to know in order to determine if that person could be a qualified prospect. So there you go. Another couple tips for you would be to arrive early and leave late. It's amazing how many people rush to a booth after the doors have opened. You need to be in there. You need to be set up and ready to roll before they open the doors. And please do not close up your display when you think the show is over or when you've had enough. You need to wait until the end of the show, till they ring the bell, so to speak. The show management companies do not like it when people pack up too soon. And I've many times seen what I call a feeding frenzy at the end of a show. People suddenly realize they forgot to stop by at the booth, or they decide to come back for some more additional information. And if you're packing up at that point, it becomes extremely awkward. And they may see that you're getting ready to leave, and they won't even bother to come in. When it comes to your selling skills in a booth, you do have to learn those. Learn to listen. You have to learn how to ask the right kinds of questions, and also relate all your features to benefits. As I said before about your display, the display should really help to promote the benefits that your company offers its customers. People don't buy features, so if you mention a feature of your product or service, make sure that you mention a benefit to accompany it. If there are opportunities for hands-on demos, please do that. The more people can touch and feel, the more they can try something to see how it works, the more they're going to remember. In fact, the recall is tremendous when you get people engaged and you get them involved both visually as well as verbally, visually, and that there's interactions and hands demos. You can increase the recall of what you have to offer from 10% to could be 80% recall. So after the show, you want them to remember they came into your booth. And if they've been to a lot of displays, the chance of remembering you if you haven't made it an interesting encounter is probably slim and none. So be sure that you have those good skills to teach people about your product. In fact, if you are telling someone about your business and about the products and service you offer, you might ask them to turn to a friend and explain it to their friend who happens to come into the booth with them. The retention is much greater under those circumstances. So when you think about it, it takes a couple seconds for somebody to walk by your booth. So consider that it takes maybe anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds to qualify someone. If they're wearing badges, you can look at the badge to see if they are within the category of customers that you're looking for. And if so, you want to engage them and you want to understand what their needs are. So ask them some questions, but have those questions prepared ahead of time so you can lead them in the direction that will get you to become familiar with what they do. Then you would then help to identify what you can do to help them out and then commit to some kind of action. The action might be that you would agree to meet, you would agree to a conversation, you would agree to follow up on a referral that they may have given to you, but there has to be a commitment if this is a company that you want to serve. And then you kick them out, because so often you end up getting into long, lengthy conversations with people in a booth, and lo and behold, you're missing other folks who are walking by that you really would like to meet, and that in itself can be a downer. You're missing business opportunities. Now, after a show, the follow-up is critical. In fact, statistically, they say that 80% of show leads are not followed up. Now, think about it. You've gone to a show, you've talked to a bunch of people, you've have found people that you really would like to resume a relationship with or to start up a relationship, and yet you don't follow up. What a waste. So your cost per lead goes up, obviously, if you haven't followed up with those with the promises. So after the show, you've got to have a prompt follow-up. That might be putting their information into a database, into a CRM system, sending out notices to them, calling them on the telephone, making arrangements for the next appointment. And then you want to evaluate the results. If there are other people working with you in the show, you might want to talk together about get their feedback and their evaluations and their observations from the show so that you can make some notes. And this will give you an opportunity to jot down some notes that you would then use for making decisions in the following year. Now, one thing to keep in mind, a lot of show managers will offer the same booth space in the following year if it's not a traveling show. So if you like the location, you might want to sign up for it for the next year because people then become familiar with where you are located on the show floor. In fact, when I was down in Orlando, Convention Center is huge. In fact, they have several convention areas. One of the companies that I've worked with for many years had a different space on the show floor, and I was really surprised. I walked down the aisle looking for them in a certain spot, and they weren't there. So if you like the space that you're in, try to capture it again for the following year. And also think about what you would do differently and what you would add to make the booth experience more engaging and more important for your business. So I've given you a bunch of tips here to set goals before the show. Always plan ahead, and it could be 6 months to 12 months preparation before a show. Believe me, people that go to a show on a whim at the last minute typically spend a lot of money, and they're really not getting their ROA at all. So if you're new in business, my suggestion would be to go to a show or an expo first to see what it's like. See if you can get in, walk around, check out the competition, look at the displays, look at the signage, look at the handout catalogs for the event, just so that you know what to expect when you go back the next time. And what I have found is that there are quite a few trade groups that really don't give very much information to the new exhibitors. They kind of leave them on their own, and those people have to kind of learn what to do. But if you have questions, go back to the management and ask them. But a lot of times they just don't offer it. Or if they do, the information is hard to find, perhaps. And so what we've talked about is what you do before, during, and after a show to really make it pay off. So we're going to go back to some of our sponsors, and I'm going to come back to sum up some of the things we've talked about. Be right back with you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. This program airs every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you will find all of these programs on the archive, on the Voice of Business, the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio Station website. And by the way, this is WHCRDB. And this is really the only Internet program from a chamber of commerce in the United States. This is what I've been advised to tell you. And it's pretty impressive. That if you have a chance to look through the archive and read the bios from the hosts that on the station, you're going to find some great programs. And I really encourage you to listen. You can listen on your computer, on your cell phone, on your mobile devices. You can listen to these programs. So please take advantage of this, because the people who are running these programs have a great deal of business experience. So give that some thought. Now, as I said, some of the handouts that I have available in what I call a toolkit really are quite helpful. Not only do we have a budgetary sheet where you can fill in all of the different expenses that you incur during the preparation and the setup and the shutdown of a booth, you can keep track of those numbers so that the next year you'll be able to see where you've spent money. There's a timeline in there and a checklist that will help you to stay on top of all the different steps that you need to follow in order to be prepared for a show. Another thing I have in there that I personally think is one of the most important pieces, it's a client or prospect survey form. When you think about that, somebody comes into your display and they want to share information, or you want them to share information about themselves, where do you put that information? And it's amazing how many people write notes on the backs of business cards, which I don't believe in. And now there are also some of the events that you attend, they offer for rent scanners. So people usually have QR codes or UPC codes on their badges. And they can be scanned. However, there's information that you need to have that are not in that scan. So let's go take a look at these. We're looking at the person's name, their title, address, phone number, email address, their company phone number, what kind of business it is. Do they have, you know, what's their website? These are things that you need to know. Is this person you're speaking to a prospect? Are they a former customer or a current customer? Is there a decision maker in that company that they will influence when they get back to their offices? What about the purchasing time frame? Who are they currently using as a supplier? Is the company in, you know, manufacturing, wholesale, retail, service? What trade class are they involved in? How soon will they be making those decisions about the products or services that you offer? That's the kind of information that you need to keep track of, but you can't get that out of a scanner, a scanned copy of their badge. So this is where I recommend that you have a prospect survey form, and the form has on it all of these various questions, and you can staple the business card onto the form and then make notes. And I would use a full sheet of paper, an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, to do this, so that when you go back in your office, you don't lose the information. It's on a full sheet. You might even want to color code those sheets so that if you're doing several shows a year, you know where the information came from or what the show was all about. So it's amazing how many people don't do this, and you lose information that you need to keep track of. And if you have a CRIM system, that information needs to go into that system so that you can know more about the company. And the more information you collect, the more power you have to communicate. You know, maybe callback dates. Oh, there's just so many things. So another thing I have here, I mentioned to you a toolkit inventory of supplies. So, for example, you would have handouts. You might have an appointment book. Maybe you need scotch tape, first aid kit, pens, pencils, checks, a container for business cards. Some people actually take little vacuum cleaners with them because in big shows sometimes they charge you to vacuum their floor, unless you want to pay that money to do that. You can do that. How about staples, staple removers, notepads? Oh, gosh, the list goes on and on of things that you could take with you to a show. And the more prepared you are, the more efficient. The other thing is have a place to put everything. If you have a lot of literature, I recommend that the literature be placed upright in literature holders rather than laying it on the table, because otherwise it takes up too much space. So have a nice, neat way to display your literature. There are floor displays for literature. That's something to think about. And if you have additional copies or different stacks of literature, can you hide them under a table? But if you're having people work with you in the booth, let them know where you're putting the literature. There's nothing worse than telling to somebody, oh, I've got literature here somewhere, let me look for it. And there you are, hunting under a table for some more handouts. So that's something to think about. Now, some of the business expos you go to are what they call tabletop shows. And this is where you might get a six-foot table that might be, 3 feet wide, perhaps. If you have a tabletop show, please don't stand behind the table, because you're standing behind a low, wide table, and you really can't get up close and personal with people when you're standing behind such a wide table. So I always push the table back against the wall and then stand on the side. If you can do that, that would be helpful. The other thing, when it comes to a display, if you have little pieces of little flyers and little posters on a 6 foot table, they're going to get lost. So it's a good idea to use what I call a billboard display. So it could be a tall, wide display that actually goes the whole length of the table but stands high, and it should have a very engaging and attractive graphics on that display so that it attracts attention. The other final thing, too, is that I would suggest that if you have a tablecloth that has literature on it, it's a tablecloth, if it has the name of the company hanging below the table, people aren't going to see it. So put some money into that billboard display. So we're about finished for today. I want to thank you for listening to the program. I'm so disappointed I didn't get this on video, but everything I talked about we would have had in the video. Next week I have somebody who puts on special events, artistic events for families and children, and I hope that you'll attend the program, because I will have to have the video working on next week. So I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. The name of my business is Rustmore Mentoring Group, which is a division of Kellogg Fond Connection LLC. If you need some more information, and I hope you do, or if you want a set of my handouts in my toolkit, the phone number is 908-832-9544. Or teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com, or Vicki V. Morgan at Rustmore, RUSSMOR.com. So there's a lot of different ways to reach me. So thank you for being here today, and I look forward to sharing some more information with you again next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Ideally, we want to be able to get along with Russia. Getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, maybe we will and maybe we won't. And probably nobody's been tougher to Russia than Donald Trump. If you take a look at our military strength now, which would not have happened had the opponent won.
President Donald Trump earlier today speaking at the White House here, talking about how tough he believes the administration has been on Russia. President Trump also held a press conference today where he was asked about how long troops will be in Syria and what his ultimate plan is regarding troops in Syria.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago,